Okay. I want to title this, How Does God View a Youth? Because I want to take a look at a few people in the Bible that I think you may be surprised how young some of them were. And I thought a good place to start is over in Mark chapter 9, just to point out in our mind how God starts working with the youth basically from the moment they're born, but very, very early in life. And over in Mark chapter 9, here we see the apostles, the disciples, maybe I should say, chapter 9, verse 33. Here the disciples were just disputing among themselves as to who is the greatest. Verse 33, he, Christ, came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you disputing about among yourselves on the road? And they kept silent. They're probably embarrassed. They didn't really want to say. And they said, he knew that they were disputing about which one of them was the greatest. So he sat down, he called the 12, so his 12 apostles, and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and a servant of all. And then he took a little child, so a child that you can, in most cases, almost always hold in your arms, so a very little child, and he took that child, he set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him, so I guess it was a little boy, in his arms, he said to them, so he's holding this little child in his arms, and he said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, receives Jesus Christ. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me, meaning the Father. So he's basically telling us from the very beginning of a child's life, God is watching. God is watching us. And I could read other scriptures saying that, but there's numerous examples in the Bible of men and women who set a sterling example of obedience to God, and some are quite young. Some are quite young. And I want to just kind of review, not going through a long process, but sort of review a little bit to let you know how young these boys and girls were at that time. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, this is talking about Samuel. Now, Samuel, his mother's name was Hannah. And in verse 8, and again, I'm just going to hit a few high points here. In verse 8 of 1 Samuel 1, Elkanah, Hannah's husband, said to her, says, Hannah, why are you weeping? Because Hannah was very, very sad. Now, why was she sad? Well, she says right here, why won't you eat, Hannah? And why is your heart so grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? She was depressed, sad, because she couldn't have a child. She had tried to have a child, hadn't been able to have one. So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Eli was the priest at that time. And Hannah was very bitterness in her soul, and she prayed to God with anguish. And she basically said, if you will just give me a child. And I think she asked for a son, but a child, I'll make sure that child serves God. Because look at verse 11. Then she made this vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget me, I will give your maidservant, if you'll give me a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She wanted a child so badly. Now, I could read on, but let's just drop over to chapter 2, because she's calling out in this particular case for a male child. I imagine most would have loved to just had a child. You know, I know when we had I had two children. That my first child was a daughter, and my second was a son. And it didn't make any difference to me which one I had first. I was kind of glad to have one of each, but doesn't necessarily matter that much, does it? But over in verse 18, so Samuel was born, and Hannah dedicated Samuel and gave him to Eli to work. Is Eli's helping Eli out. But Samuel was a little bitty child. And in verse 18, Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child. It doesn't say his age, but we're going to look at that in just a minute. He was wearing a little linen ephod when he was a little child even. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord give you descendants from the woman for the loan that was lent to the Lord." And they would go home to their own house. Then the Lord visited Hannah again. She conceived and bore three more sons and two daughters, five more children. Now, notice, meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord because he was working with Eli. Now over in chapter 3, again, I'm just hitting a couple high points here. Verse 1, then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was very rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time when Eli one day was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. So basically, Eli was basically blind. And he was basically blind. And Samuel was lying down to sleep. And the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel said, "Here I am." So Samuel heard this voice. And he said, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. Didn't you call me to Eli?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go lie down." This happened two or three times. Then Eli realized that it was something God was working with. Now, we read where Samuel served even as a little child. And we read why his mother would make him a little robe and bring it each year. Now, how old was Samuel when God spoke to him? We don't know for sure, but we can get an idea. Josephus, who is one of the he was Jewish, and he wrote a lot of history about the Jews. Some of it's incorrect, some's correct, but he has a lot of information that I wouldn't book my, it's not something positive about, but I think in a lot of cases he's probably right. How old does Josephus say he thinks Samuel was when this happened? God was working with Samuel from, and then I could do two or three or four sermons about Samuel and all the things he did. But Samuel certainly started early, did he not? Now let's look over in 2 Kings 22. Let's look at Josiah, who is the king. Again, we're just going to touch a few things, and you can study more about each of these individuals. But I wanted to give you an idea. God was working with Samuel when he was just a lot younger than even 12. And by the time he was 12, God was really working with Samuel. And like I said, 2 Kings 22, we read about King Josiah. Now, before Josiah was a horrible king. Just a horrible king before Josiah. Manasseh, you could read about Manasseh. He was bad. And it was one of the worst kings. But in chapter 22 of 2 Kings, we see King Josiah. Verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Now that's very, that's very rare. It's very rare. But it's not impossible, because he succeeded Manasseh's father. And so his mother's name was Jediah, daughter of Adiah of Bozkek. I just botched that up, but who cares? But notice, Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of his father David. He didn't turn aside to the right hand or the left. Now, here's the point. Now it came to pass in the 18th year. I would assume this means he was 18 years old. It could have been 18 plus, add the 8. But I think it's most places I've looked thinks he was 18 years old. So either way, he was a young man. When he came past, when he was 18, he began to do a lot of things to serve God. In fact, over in chapter 23, and I'm just hitting a few high points here, verse 2 of 2 Kings 23, the king, talking about Josiah, he went up the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord, which they found that it had been neglected all these years. And the king, this is Josiah, then the king stood by a pillar. He made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people took their stand on the covenant. Now, Josiah was a good king. He had a rough ending. He died in a battle. But he was, after King Josiah, he was something special. So, he became king at 8, and more than likely he began to turn to God's way at 18, or could it be 18 plus the 8, but most places I've looked thought he was 18, but he was young, and he was a good king. So there you got Samuel. Now we've got Josiah. Now let's take a brief look at King David. David, what an example David was. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. David was, he's the type of person, don't you want to meet him someday? Don't you want to meet him someday when you're resurrected and ask some of the questions or some of the things he went through? But we know what was happening here in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. We see Goliath the giant. Goliath the giant. Verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel. Saul was the king, and David was just a young man. Saul was the king. Saul and the men of Israel, they gathered together. They encamped in the valley of Elah. They drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. Now the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. But a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, and his name was Goliath, Goliath of Gath. Now, this is, to me, amazing. Goliath was 6 cubits in a span. Well, what does that mean, 6 cubits in a span? Well, I looked in a Bible dictionary, and again, we could be off from time to time a little bit, but probably not, and if so, not much. You know what that would be? 10 feet tall. He would be an amazing NBA player. They could just throw in the ball and he could just drop it in, because the goal was 10 feet. Goliath was 10 feet tall, and he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. So what was the weight of that coat of bronze? How much is that? It's 150 pounds. He was 10 feet tall. And even this he wore was 150 pounds. Can you imagine carrying something on your back that was 150 pounds? Boy, you would need a chiropractor. You'd need more than a chiropractor. And he had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin before his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So what is 600 shekels? Well, what it said in the book I looked at said it was 16. This thing he carried around was 16 pounds. But here's the scary part. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel. And he said to them, "Why have you come out of Lime up to battle? Am I not a Philistine and you a servant of Saul? I want you to choose a man for yourself. Let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, talking about Goliath, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Well, he was 10 feet tall. Who knows how much he weighed? And these Israelite men were probably quite afraid. And King Saul, the king, he was obviously afraid. So when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. They didn't know what to do. They were scared. Now David, the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, that was David's father, he had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. Now, how long did this go on? Well, I could find, here it is, verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening, 40 days, he cried out to Israel and made fun of them. Said, send me a man to fight me. And all those Israelites, like I'm sure I would have been too, were afraid. They were afraid. Now David was the youngest. Well, let me go back to verse 13. Verse 13, 3 of the oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, Abinadab, and Shammah. So 3 of David's brothers. Now here's what's interesting. You could turn, you don't need to turn there, but you might jot down Numbers 1, verse 3, which says that all the men of Israel 20 years and older will serve in the Israelite army. So I would assume, almost, again, I would think that would mean these 3 sons, these older sons, were serving in the army. And Saul's calling out, making fun of them. So how old would David be? Well, first of all, David was younger than these 3. So David would have to be less than 20. Because if he was 20 or older, he would be serving in the Israelite army. So how old was David? Well, I don't know for certain. But he was probably, in most, when I looked at these, you know, Bible dictionary, they said he was probably somewhere between 15 and 19. Now Saul called out to David, he made fun of David, on and on, he made fun of him. But David said, "We can't let this happen. We can't let this giant make fun of God's people." So David said, "Well, who's going to do something?" And David said, "Well, I will. I will." So Saul, verse 38, again, I'm just hitting a few points here. And verse 37. I think I'll drop down to verse 36, because Saul, like, how are you going to do anything? You're just a young child. You're just a teenager. And David said, "Your servant," talking about himself, "has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like that lion, that bear that I killed. David was a pretty tough guy, wasn't he, that young? He's going to deliver me. Who is? Well, God is. He said, your servant is killed both a lion and a bear. This Philistine's going to be just like them because he has defied the armies of the living God, because he's making fun of God's people, is what he said. So David said, the Lord, he who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul said to David, man, Saul was really tough, wasn't he? Well, David, go and the Lord be with you. I'm not messing with this 10-foot man. Go, David. So Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. He got him all set. And David fastened his sword to his arm and he tried to walk. But he says, I can't walk with these. David just took them off because they were weighing him down. They weighed so much, you try to carry more than you're able to carry. Then he took his staff, verse 40, took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and he had a sling in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine, Goliath, he came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him, before Goliath. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He made fun of him. To try to stand up for me, a 10-foot tall giant. The Philistine, verse 43, said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick, with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, you come to me, and I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, this was a teenager. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword. You come to me with a spear. You come to me with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you. I'll take your head from you, and I will give you. I'll give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the field. And you know what happened? David took one of those stones, must have had a total direct hit. And that 10-foot tall giant . What do you think he will think when I assume, and if he comes up, I guess whenever he comes up, say it's the second resurrection, sure won't be the first. What do you think how foolish do you think he's going to feel? David said, I'm not worried because God's on my side. So you got Sam, who was 12. You've got Josiah, who probably was 18 when he really turned to God. And then you've got David, who was a teenager, went out and slew the giant who was making fun of God, making fun of Israel. And let's look at one other one. Let's look at Queen Esther for a moment. Now again, all these deserve an entire sermon, but time-wise, just want to take a look at a few things. Let's turn over to Esther chapter 2, the book of Esther chapter 2, right after Nehemiah. Now, it's a long story, but Queen Vashti offended King Ahasuerus, and she was took her out as to be the queen no more. Now, what happened? Okay, verse 1 of chapter 2, I'm skipping a lot, but jumping in here. Most of you sort of know the story. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered what Queen Vashti had done and what had been decreed against her, and he said, she's not going to be queen. I need a new queen. Now notice what he said. The king's servants who attended him said, let the beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. So they're looking for again, it doesn't say her age, and I can tell you what I've read, but I don't know if it's totally accurate or not, but she was obviously very young. Very young. In fact, dropping down to verse 7, Mordecai, that was her uncle, he had brought up Hadassah, who is Esther, same person, his uncle's daughter, and for she had neither father nor mother, assuming, I guess they had died. The young woman was very lovely and beautiful, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it was when the king's decree was heard, and when many young women were gathered under the scrutiny, and he was to choose a queen. But which queen did he choose? Esther. But Esther was Jewish. Esther was Jewish. And Haman, again, it's a long story. You probably know a lot of the details, but he hated the Jews. He hated Mordecai. But here's Esther, the queen, who was Jewish. So there was a plot discovered. And Mordecai told Esther, you're going to have to stand tall because we can't really do anything. You're the queen. Now, there was a thing where the queen couldn't just walk in on the king at this time and just without getting his permission. But Mordecai told Esther, we need you to stand up because the Jewish race could be eliminated. Verse 7, chapter 2. Well, I'd already read that. Chapter 4 is where I wanted to go. Again, I'm just skipping around here, but just giving you an idea. Chapter 4, Esther, beginning in verse 11. So there was a situation where these Jews were going to die. Now, Esther was Jewish, so it could affect her too. Verse 11, chapter 4. Here's where I wanted to get at. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces, this is what Esther told her uncle Mordecai, know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law. Put all to death except the one who the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. So you don't walk in if the king doesn't. It's like, what are you walking in on me? You're going to die. Didn't sound, it's not fair, but it's the way that worked back then. And Esther said, well, I've not been called in to the king for 30 days. What am I supposed to do? But yet Mordecai said, you've got to stand tall, Esther. Somebody's got to stand up. So Mordecai told Esther in verse 12 these words. Mordecai told them to Esther and said this, do not think in your heart, Esther, that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from some other place. God will find a way to save us, he was saying. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows? Mordecai said this to Esther. Yet who knows whether you've come to this kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe that's why you were born, is what he's trying to tell her. Now, She may have been a teenager, could have been a late teen, could have been a little older. But she was certainly quite young. She wasn't. I actually looked and they gave guesses. Again, these are only guesses, but most of the guesses I saw were around 20 or so, somewhere in that range. Don't know for sure. So you got Samuel. You got Josiah. You got David. You got Esther. And you got a lot more. And then you got you. Because you were born for a reason. You didn't just, you weren't just born by chance. None of us were. Evolution is the dumbest theory I've ever heard. They can't even, they have all these theories, but well, where does it, like my daughter always said, well, where do the apes come from? If God, all these, it's crazy stuff. So what about you? Does God have a plan for you? And he does. But you've got to follow that plan. Now, I know a lady, I won't mention her name, but she's the wife of an elder, and I've known her and her husband for many years, but she started really reading the Bible when she was a teenager, I think about 14 or 15, she started studying a lot. And she wanted to go to church back in the Worldwide Church of God. Her parents, neither one were interested. In fact, her father was a military man, and he was pretty angry that she would want to go. But then they decided they would allow her to go if they met a couple, older couple in the congregation. So there was a couple in this area. It wasn't Texas. That would pick her up each day and take her each Sabbath and take her to church. She was, I think she was either 16 or 17 years old, and she decided she wanted through God helping her, to start being more of a Christian. Now, she told me the story about her father being so upset, and one Sabbath day, he told her, look, they lived on a farm, and said, you are going to work today. You're going to work on this farm. You're going to get out there and help with the crops, and you're not going to go to church. And she told me, she said, you know, I knew I couldn't break the Sabbath, but I also knew I was supposed to honor my father and mother. I didn't know what to do, she said. She said she went to her room. She said she got down on her knees, and she said, God, please do something. It was a nice sunny day. Suddenly, this big rainstorm just came out of nowhere. Just a huge rainstorm. And her father's never asked her again to work on the Sabbath. Now, she said she knew she couldn't work on the Sabbath, but she said, God, what do I do? So God said, oh, I'll send a big old rainstorm. And her father and mother wound up coming to church. They were both baptized, and they're no longer alive. But they were wonderful examples, as is this young lady who's no longer young. She said, what do I do, God? And God took care of it, did he? Young boys, young girls, develop into young men and women. You're the future of the church. You're the future of the church. Those of us that are going up in years, we're not going to start going backwards in our age unless we're lying about it. Well, that's breaking the ninth commandment. I remember I gave a sermon once on the ninth commandment, and this one lady in the congregation that tended to lie got all upset and claimed that I was giving a sermon. I called out and said she was a liar, and I thought, I didn't even mention anybody's name. I gave a sermon on you don't lie. She told me she's going to call the home office and tell them that I told her she was a liar, which was she was, but I didn't say it. Man, it's crazy out there in this world, is it not? Young boys, young girls, developing young men, young women, future God's church, believe me. God respects you if you respect him. We all make mistakes. But we got to take this serious. We got to take it serious, don't we? God respects you if you respect him. And God will work things out for you if you respect him.